Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Well, this is Memorial Day weekend. Monday will be the day that it is celebrated on a national basis all over the United States. It's not unique to the United States. In fact, by the time I'm through with this message, hopefully you'll come to understand and maybe even appreciate for yourself some things in your life and some things that we do as a practice in the local church that will maybe gain a little more significance for you as we share a little bit about that. But one of the things that I think is important for us to remember is that we as Christians, regardless of what nation we belong to, we still have an obligation as Christians to pray for our leadership, which Pete and the Musketeers pray for. We have a responsibility to live our lives in a way that reflects what we believe Jesus Christ would expect of a good citizen in our country, regardless of who's running the country, regardless of what type of government it might be. I still believe wherever you are as a Christian, you have a responsibility. And regardless of what we agree about and disagree about as far as politics is concerned, there are some things that we come together on almost on a united basis. Unfortunately, some things over time tend to become less and less important to us. If you look around, you'll see a few empty chairs, and of course, I hope they don't get this message later on by disc or something, but some folks are celebrating Memorial Day by camping and, that's a stunner, I know that, but at any rate, and believe me, I don't have a problem with that. I'm only being facetious and teasing, but what has happened even to this holiday has happened to many holidays as the secular movement has tried to minimize the importance of major holidays that we observe. This holiday was one that was established some time ago, and it even has its controversy behind it. The Memorial Day expression is a day that we set aside officially, passed years ago, but officially this is a weekend that we stop and remember those who have fallen in service of this country. Memorial Day is different than Veterans Day. Veterans Day, we celebrate the commitment and the work of all servicemen all around the globe, and of course, who stand on the wall in protection of our freedoms and so forth. But Memorial Day was different. Originally, it was called Decoration Day. When you would go and put flowers on the graves of soldiers that had fallen in the service of their country. It originated, and there's an argument. You know how Zillow wants to be noted? Let me give you a better example. Toppenish, you know what Toppenish is famous for? The murals, right. That's kind of the theme of their community, and that's great. And for a while, we were kind of, because we're close to the new wineries and all that, we were going to be kind of a Tuscan theme, you know. And I always kind of marveled at that because the colors that they chose, they wanted an ordinance to get all the new buildings or new businesses to paint their buildings Tuscan colors. And yet all the colors that I saw them paint were not Tuscan colors. Tuscan colors are different. In fact, I think a couple buildings got actually painted Tuscan colors, and they threw the whole idea away, and we're something else now. I don't know what our theme is, but so there's a lot of people and a lot of little towns back east that want to claim fame to being the originators of Memorial Day observance. It is rooted in the Civil War, Memorial Day expression, and out of, I think, probably great loss. Several towns, of course, close to Gettysburg and some of the big battles that took place in the Civil War. They, of course, started this practice. It's not a new practice. It was observed earlier than the Civil War, but it became a main focus because some of the organizations in relationship to the Civil War had special ceremonies, not in a unified way, but just different days through the year. They would have decoration of the graves of the fallen soldiers. And then it grew to where they would have parades and so forth. And originally, Memorial Day in the South was different than Memorial Day in the North, because when they would gather for Memorial Day, originally Memorial Day was an opportunity to give speeches and so forth and have a parade and recognize the great sacrifice made by a nation in civil war. And so the North would use that opportunity to decry how atrocious the South was in treatment of their prisoners. And of course, in the South, their speeches were on the atrocities of the soldiers of the North on their military. But it eventually morphed into a higher meaning. And this is where I want to kind of focus a bit, because I want to lead us into some scripture, I think, that kind of helps us realize that we too need to remember some things and commemorate some things in our history and in our personal lives. And I want to get to that in a moment. But it is attributed to the women of the city of Savannah, Georgia, as being one of the first. There are other towns who claim that, and they may be more accurate. But there is authenticity to the fact that the women in the city of Savannah would go on this day. It was in May. And actually, originally, it was on this day, a Sunday, that they used to do it, not a Monday. You know why we do Memorial Day on Monday? Because the hippies in 1967 wanted to change, so the Congress changed it to so they could have a three-day weekend. That's exactly why they did it. They did that with like about three or four other holidays, and they just wanted to extend and go camping or whatever we do on Memorial Day. At any rate, there's even a movement, a small movement, but a movement even to have it changed back to the actual observance. Of course, it was the latter part of May in which Memorial Day took place. But the ladies of Savannah, and you've got to understand, when the South was devastated, the total war took over 600,000 soldiers, both sides. That is a tremendous amount of sacrifice and loss for a cause that they believed in. The South didn't believe in emancipation, and they didn't believe in federalism. They wanted to maintain the states' rights, and they fought against the North, who, of course, stood for emancipating the slavery and ending that. But also, they were trying to take away states' rights, and in the same process. And so, we oftentimes think that the Civil War was fought to end slavery. That was a part of it, a very large part of it, but it was not the whole reason that the South rose up against the North. They rose up against the North because they felt the federal government was encroaching too much on states' rights. It's still being cried about today. We still fight against federalism in some forms or another, which, just history, and it doesn't mean a whole lot to us because we're not fighting the Civil War. But we do know that they were fighting what they believed was a good cause. They were fighting for a freedom of sorts, a freedom to rule themselves, whether it be by state or by nation. At any rate, the ladies of Savannah, who lost many, as other communities did, decided to go and honor the fallen dead of the Confederacy and lay flowers at their graves. That sparked a movement in the North. And the North started following the same tradition. And what was interesting about it, that also brought about the movement for national cemeteries. And so near Gettysburg, there is a national cemetery. And of course, everyone knows of Arlington, the probably the most famous of our national cemeteries. And some really awesome things are there in remembrance of the kind of sacrifice our people, and I say that inclusive of all races and colors and creeds and all of that, our people, our American people, fought a civil war, fought against each other, brother against brother, father against son, to uphold what they believed, and eventually, as the Union won, to reunify the country into one, and pass amendments to prevent secession. Of course, we've even had people try to secede now. I think that we want to secede, and you know, Texas, I think, wants to get out, and Arizona wants to get out. But at any rate, regardless of your politics, the idea was to unite the country. And one of the things that came out of the evolution of Memorial Day, which we really should rekindle the fire of appreciation for this, because what came out of that was the morphing of speeches against the North and the South, and the atrocities and the wrongs and so forth. There came slowly a reunifying of us as a people. Now, like I said, I don't care much of what your politics are, but you can't argue with the idea that we need to be one people. I'm not saying that every person has to agree with every other person, but we need to be nationalistic. We need to be what really came out of the Civil War and was accentuated in the Second World War, is that we are a people. We may have various backgrounds, but we are unified by the common goal of what has been provided for us by those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. The 600,000 provided us the opportunity to reunite after there was a great division in our country. And from that, we came away with the idea that we can survive great disagreements, and we can be unified. To give you just a simple illustration of that, you remember when the towers were attacked, and I've used this illustration before, but you remember when the towers were attacked and they came crumbling down in New York. Do you remember the unification that brought? The one, we didn't care if you were a Democrat, we didn't care if you were a Martian, we didn't care what you were. We had been attacked, and we united as one people. It brought us, and then, of course, quickly elements worked to kind of dissolve that, but we united. We the people of America have been attacked, and that brought us together. And that comes out of what morphed out of the history of Memorial Day, because what Memorial Day really ultimately became is an opportunity for leaders to express the exceptionalism of the American people. Now, when I say exceptionalism, I don't mean that we're better than any other nation, or that we're greater than any other nation, or that we're superior to any other nation. I'm merely saying the American people are an exceptional people. We're the greatest experiment of self-rule that has ever been in history of mankind. And so we've been fairly successful. I don't know how much longer, but one of the greatest examples of we the people. We rule ourselves. We send representatives of our own to pass laws or to legislate and to keep us safe and to keep our freedoms secured. And so out of that, Memorial Day became a day that we honor those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, stood on the wall to protect our freedoms. And you know how much we appreciate the veterans in this church and those who have fallen even more so, because they were willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice, lay down their lives so that you and I could live in the freedoms that we're experiencing this very morning. Amen? And so I wanted to just give you a little bit of that brief history and help you to realize that it's not just a day where we have a parade and the veterans and, you know, and all the businesses run their advertisements through the parades and all that kind of stuff. It's a day when we stop and we lay our hand on our heart and thank the men and women of the military service that laid down their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. Now, our responsibility, of course, goes beyond that, to not just stop and have a day, but there is a nationalism that should grow out of this day. And the attempt has been many times to bring us together, and hopefully this does. But one of the things I want to remind you, if you go to the cemetery tomorrow, I don't know who will be speaking there. It's close to noon, I think about 11:30 or so. They'll have an honor guard, and they'll play the appropriate music, and taps will be played at one point. But at one point, they will briskly raise the flag to the top of the staff, and then slowly lower it to half-mast. in honor of those men and women. And so at noontime, they will re-raise the flag to the top of the staff until the end of the day. But if around 11:30 tomorrow, whatever you're doing, if you could just pause between 11:30 and 12, just for a moment. I know this is sounding probably a little crazy to you, but if you could stop for a moment, and if you're not at the cemetery at that celebration, just put your hand on your heart and thank God and thank those men and women who are lying in the cemeteries all over the United States that gave their life so that you could just sit here this morning, kick back, have a latte, listen to some guy ramble on about something. You know what I'm saying? But take time to honor. Let me give you another little thing before I get into what I want to share. When we had Zilla Days, you know, we always have an honor guard that goes through that. You know what I noticed this year? More than I've noticed in the past years. I go to that parade nearly every year. I think I may have missed once or twice, but over the years. But I go there every year, and I noticed something. More so than ever, and I don't know why this, and maybe it's because I noticed it. But more so than ever, it seemed to me that more people were remembering what this day, and what the honor guard represented. And so, as they marched through, the honor guard, carries the flag and so forth, veterans of foreign wars or whoever it was that's selected to do that. I noticed people, as the flags came by, got out of their seats. Now, I've been there when they just kept sitting there and waiting for the Coca-Cola truck to come by to give out the free Cokes. Hello, you know what I'm talking about? But I noticed. Maybe I was just more observant. I don't know. But it just seemed to me, I saw more people step up out of their seats and step to the curb. And as the flag passed by, they placed their hand on their heart in respect for what that flag stands for. It doesn't stand for Democrat or Republican. It stands for a free nation under God. Amen? And that's the important thing, a free nation under God. See, celebrations like this are not new. And remembering things that are really important, that have events that have taken place, are very important to our, I think a little bit to our psyche, but I think it's very important to our spirit, maybe our soul, as we observe it. And I think it's a good thing. I want you to turn to a scripture in the book of Joshua. And I want to read a section of scripture to you. It's not really a military thing, but it speaks about what I want to share with you this morning. Because I think there's something that God put in us. We're not all the same. Not everybody is patriotic and all that kind of stuff. We have our appreciation and all that. It doesn't mean that we're bad people or anything like that. It just means, we've got a lot going on and we don't always remember. And that's really why I think memorials are important. It's because we don't always remember. But let me give you a scripture in the book of Joshua, the 4th chapter. I'm going to read a few verses out of that and try to move quickly along. And it came to pass, when all the people were cleaned past over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord of your God unto the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what meaneth by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Significant event. I believe that this represents humanity, people. It represents you and I. It represents, of course, the heritage of our Christian faith, clear back into the Old Testament. But I think there's something that God innately places in people. And the reason I know this is true is because I've driven by the cemetery. You can't help but come into town. You drive right by the cemetery. Zillow's so small, I wonder where you could hide the cemetery anyway. But you drive right past the cemetery, and as you look over on any given day, except on Wednesdays, there are flowers on different graves. And you see today, you'll go out there today, you drive down the road, and you'll see it's covered. Because what Memorial Day has really morphed into is a remembrance of anybody, of our loved ones who've passed away. And so originally it was a military thing and an honoring of the fallen dead, but it has morphed into people remembering their loved ones and so forth. And it made me realize, I think that there is an innate thing that God places in us that is linked to immortality, is linked to wanting to live forever. You can't pass a cemetery and not come to the recognition that somebody wants to remember that person that has been laid to rest there, and that makes me realize that there's something that drives us as a people. And in fact, I think on a personal level, I think it drives us for personal significance. And I think one of the great things about being a Christian is that you can't be a Christian and not begin to realize how special and important you are. If you don't realize that, let me assure you and reassure you this morning, you are very, very special. Moms, we celebrate how special you were on Mom's Day, and Father's Day will do the same. Memorial Day, our fallen dead and our loved ones who passed on. But you need to realize, if you haven't come to this recognition yet, that as a Christian, you are not a superior being on this planet, but you are a different being. You are a changed being. You are a transformed being. You are no longer of this world. You are a child of God, regardless of how you feel about yourself. Doesn't make any difference. God feels this way about you. You need to come catch up with God is what you need to do, is catch up to how he feels about you and understand that there's something in us that seeks significance, seeks to be remembered, that our life means something. And that I was here for a reason. I'm not just an animal on the planet, a part of a species that as I die, our species slowly dies out, and then people rally, like they do around animals. We can't build a school here because this darter mouse or fish or whatever is about to be extinct, and so we can't, those kinds of things. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is we want to live forever. We want there to be something beyond this life that makes our life here meaningful, so that we weren't just a flash. And I'm afraid the scripture talks like that. He talks about us being like the grass, or like flowers that bloom for a moment and pass away, or the grass that rises up and then it dies and fades away. Life is that brief. Yes, I understand that, but God, I think, wants us to understand that we are his creation, that we have been redeemed at a high price, and that we are more important than we really think we are in the eyes of God. And what God wants us to do is to make that connection, that there's something significant about who we are and what we represent. And I think every person wants to be meaningful, wants to have some meaning in their life. That I'm more, and that's why I want to be honest with you. That's what motivates us in so many things in our country. I think around the world as well, because we're not the only creatures that that do these things. But you look at that sports today and sports figures and the records, and we honor these people. I was just watching the other day Ken Venturi being inducted into the Golf Hall of Fame and others along with him. And I'm thinking, here, a Hall of Fame for golf, there's a Hall of Fame for baseball and football, and we have all these heroes that we've had in the past, events, and whoever won the Super Bowl, the San Francisco 49ers won 4. Of course, they were my team at the time, and that kind of thing. But so we commemorate, we remember things to keep them and keep them immortal. We want them to live forever. We build statues to great men that have faded away so much that the town doesn't even know who they were. I was in Boston one time, and I was walking that Freedom Trail, and we have these statues all around. It has great significance in our early Revolutionary War history, when we first colonized and all of that kind of thing. These things are faded, and there's names there. I don't have a clue who these people are. But when that statue was built, that was built for the purpose, I think, for what's longing in every one of our hearts, And that is that I'm meaningful. There's purpose for my life. There's a reason that I'm here. I'm not just here by accident. I'm not just here by, you know, coincidence. I'm here, and God has a significant purpose for me. Interestingly enough, Christians are probably the biggest people to struggle with that kind of thing. You know, you can go to a rock concert, and there's a crowd of people that would love to be on that stage, be significant, to be known, to be recognized. And other people of different things, you know, I'd like to be like Einstein or Von Braun or whatever. But people want to be recognized that they were significant among men. That among other people, it impacted them, touched them, made a difference in their lives. It made me important because I was significant to somebody. The saddest thing that I see happening throughout the whole world is so many people that have acquiesced and chosen a lifestyle that leads you to insignificance. I'll give you an example. A lady in Yakima was just found after 4 days in an abandoned house. Nobody knew who she was. She'd been murdered. Nobody knew who she was. In Los Angeles, I'm told that on any given day in the morgue, that there are dozens and dozens of people with toe tags. They've passed away, and on that toe tag is written John Doe or Jane Doe. Nobody knows who they are. They've passed away. They meant nothing to anybody. If there's anything that Jesus Christ does for us, he makes us a somebody. He makes us important. Important to the kingdom of God, important to God himself, important to the sacrifice Jesus was willing to make. The hero of the cross, the hero of our redemption, who willingly sacrificed his life, much like the heroes of our past wars and our current wars, that are willing to pay the ultimate price because of the call of their nation. Jesus was willing to make the ultimate sacrifice because of the call of a lost people. I find that very dynamic, and I find that very telling about why and how God moves and works in our lives. He knows he's placed in us a desire to live forever and to have meaning in this life other than just passing through, other than just passing by, other than being here for a moment and flashing away. And that's why I'm convinced that whatever you do for the kingdom, whatever you do for Jesus Christ, makes you significant. Living righteously for him, trying to be a reflector of his godliness, of his goodness, of his mercy, of his gentleness and his kindness, trying to be what Jesus wants me to be, makes me significant. Because what we don't, and I alluded to this earlier when Pete was introducing our new friends, I don't think we will ever know till we stand before Jesus Christ just how effective we have been for Jesus Christ in this world. How many people we have influenced and impacted and been part of that ingathering that we talked about last week. But I'm thinking that something in us cries out for those who have impacted us to remember them, and something cries out in our heart, remember me. I am someone. I am somebody. And I think that drives us in so many ways that we don't even realize it. I think we do things in our life to find significance, even though they may be stupid things. I saw this guy on a video last night, and you catch these things on YouTube, you know, every once in a while you see some unbelievable things. This guy dresses in this suit, white suit with a cape. He's got this hat on, and he's looking like he's a superhero. They're standing on a roof about 12 foot high, maybe a little taller. And did anybody see this? He's got this big balloon down below on the ground, and he's going to leap off of this building and land on this balloon, hoping that it will then launch him higher into the air and that he'll become famous for having this great leap into space. And as he stepped back bravely, launched himself from the roof without fear, he overshoots the balloon and lands right on the ground and just about broke his tailbone. So I don't know that I want that kind of significance. I don't know if I want to be known for the stupid things that I've done, or do I want to be known for something that really means something in people's lives? I can't think. I'm watching Greta Van Susteren. Do you know her? One of the lady announcer ladies or programs on Fox. She has Franklin Graham on, and you know Franklin Graham is the head of Samaritan's Purse, and he also heads up the giveaway boxes we put together every year for the kids around the world. And what many people do not, and I thank Greta Van Susteren for this, most of the television outlets that are covering the Oklahoma disaster, and by the way, be careful, will you? Just a little side note, step aside, side note. Be careful who you send your money to help in the relief. Because I hate to tell you this, there are some people that are significant for being downright thieves. Al Capone, he was famous. Well, some of these other ones may never be known by name, but they're just corrupt people. So be careful you give to legitimate, if you really want to help Oklahoma, give to some legitimate organizations. And one I would recommend, of course, is Franklin Graham's, as well as the Church of God has programs where we go in and help in disaster areas. And so look for a good one. Don't just give your money to the first one that calls you. Anyway, she has him on there, and what is not even shown by any of the other television stations, the first people of that are in there for relief is not government agencies. It's not FEMA. It's Franklin Graham. It's Christian organizations that are immediately on the scene to have food and water and an opportunity to help people have showers and clean up because their homes are gone, folks. The greatest efforts on the part of men have been those done by Christian people. Christian people. I could really get off on, you know, I got to apologize. I'm going to do this publicly and to my great shame. I have a tendency to be very opinionated. Has anyone gotten drift of that? Okay. I want to kind of apologize for my opinions and my commentaries on the side of the gospel, but there are some things that are just so obvious to me that it just aggravates the fire out of me when godly people are doing what God has called us to do, which makes us significant. I mean, how good do you feel when you're out there passing out water to people that don't have nothing? Or you go to a missionary area and people have nothing and you bring hope and you bring Jesus Christ and they find Jesus as their Lord and Savior and all of those things. It makes you become significant, not to the kingdom. You're already being significant when you give your heart to Him, but it makes you realize your importance to the kingdom. And I know we're doing it to secular people. That's not our calling. Our calling is to help those that are in need and those that are lost and give them the hope and give them the tools and give them the refreshment that they may. That's our calling. And so the smallest thing you do, you send a buck back there. You've done something for, you send it in the name of Jesus. You've done something, and that makes you significant to the kingdom. And we want to remember that. We want to remember how we have a link to wanting to, we want things to last forever. Nothing on this planet lasts forever. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Well, except a few things. But anyway, nothing. I'm kidding. Nothing lasts forever. Everything is temporal. Everything is going to pass. One day this planet is going to pass away. And all that we thought was so important and all the people that we wanted to keep in remembrance and always keep them dear in our heart, and we have a responsibility to do that. It will be less than important if we don't couple that with fulfilling our responsibility to help our fellow man and to remember those who have done a great deed for us. This scripture that I just read for you is in remembrance of God opening up the Jordan River and the children of Israel passing over into the promised land. Remember that? And God wanted them to take a memorial. I even preached a sermon and got a sack of rocks back for preaching the sermon. I said, we all should make a rock, you know. But anyway, they went and they took and they made a memorial so that when people in the future looked back, they could connect with the great work God had done. God had done a great significant work, delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm going to go into the whole story, but Moses led them, and now Joshua is taking over. And by this act and stuff, people began to fear and reverence and respect and appreciate the leadership of Joshua at that time, because Moses was gone. But they built this tower of rocks so that later in the generations ahead, we would realize that what we're enjoying and what we're appreciating, spiritually what you and I experienced this morning when the power of God came down and ministered to us, when we prayed for one another and we felt the power of the Spirit assure us that He was answering these prayers. Those kinds of things that we're enjoying, those spiritual things that we do when God gives us a word and He proclaims something over us as a church and then slowly begins to build that and make that a reality. A ministry place where we reach out and a school where we train our young people in the gospel and all those things that God has done, those spiritual things as well. God doing significant great works because we were willing to connect with that. When another 100 years from now, Gary Connor is never going to be remembered. Probably 5 years, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. And what has been built here should not be, I should not be the one remembered for that, or you and I as people should, who should be remembered is Jesus Christ. Because what we do that is significant is done for Jesus Christ. To honor Him, to build Him, exalt Him, and help men be drawn to Him by His power and His presence. What excites us to come to church is the presence of God. I come to the church to experience God. I come to the house of God. And I know I have immortality. I know I'm going to live forever. That's not my issue. But you'd like to think that your life meant something. Amen? You'd like to think that, hey, I did something, even a small thing. Well, Jesus puts emphasis on that. If just a cup of water, you give in the name of a prophet or whatever, you'll receive a prophet's reward. It isn't the amount of things you do, although that's how we tend to measure it, isn't it? Oh, this guy won 10 million people to Christ, or this one fed 40, 50 million people, fed these. That's awesome, and I don't decry that, and I don't minimize that. I think that's a wonderful thing. God uses people to do great things, and I appreciate that deeply. But it's not the size of the thing you do. It's the fact that you do something to help your fellow man, to better him, and to better yourself by doing so. And to remember those who have set the pace before us, those who have set the example. That's why we read the Bible. What did Paul do? How did the power of God move through Paul? We try to make that in our make a connection there for our own personal lives. And if you go real far, He'll be sending you as a missionary somewhere, because you can't get hooked with God and not be made significant in the kingdom of God. You cannot connect with God and not be made significant. The whole purpose of God is to get you ready for the kingdom of heaven. Hello? Get you ready. So what's happening? You're experiencing a bit of heaven right now. The problem we have is we're still living in this fallen world. That makes you even greater, because you're living for Christ in the midst of an antagonistic, a warring, an enemy that desires to destroy your soul, a culture that is growing and growing and growing against you. I read a statistic in a speech that a man gave to Heritage College, and he's talking about the survey that was taken on people who, you know, in a census that you check what religious affiliation you have. Back in the 60s and so, there was only 5% of people that checked none on the survey. Today, there's over 20% of people who have checked they have no religious affiliation. That doesn't sound like, oh, that's only 20 to 80% of the rest of it. Okay, that sounds right. But you don't realize what that means. The 20 to 25% are the people who are teaching your children in the universities of this land. They are the elitists who do not believe in God. And they find their significance in something that they're doing, and so they have a cause. Americans are an interesting people. I don't even know if melting pot thing is a good example of it. We're a people who have blended. And as a people, from whatever backgrounds we had, we become a people. We are the most generous people. We're the most helpful people. We're the most tolerant people. You just can't imagine how awesome the American people are. And The whole world has benefited from the fact that we are a people who've recognized that the blessing we have really is because of the God who gave it to us. We are one nation. Well, we may be divisible now, I don't know. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, but under God. Amen? And so what I'm concerned about today is that we recognize the importance of things that Jesus Christ thinks we should remember. I think we should remember the history of Israel. I think we remember this significantly. I'd like to find those 12 rocks. Stop and remember. Hey, this is... And some of you have been to the Holy Land and you've seen the wonderful historical places where Jesus was supposedly born, and place where he was crucified and all of those kinds of things. And they meant something. But did you know he actually left something for us to remember him by that we practice here all the time and sometimes don't even recognize how powerful that really is? There are things that we do in this church and that you do as a member of this church that I think connects us with that innate thing that causes us to want to remember your grandpa, your grandma, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your friend, your fellow soldier, whatever. Keep them alive through the memory. Did anybody ever watch that movie? And I don't like the movie. I just don't like the movie. You might like it, but was it Finding Private Ryan? Is that the name of it? Does anybody watch that? I don't like the movie. And there's one reason I don't like that movie. It's the cowardice of that one individual. I couldn't take it. But it was that commitment to find that Private Ryan on the part of those soldiers. You remember at the end of that movie, Private Ryan is kneeling. I think the picture's actually taken Normandy where all the crosses are, but at any rate, he's kneeling at the cross, and one of the things he says, I hope that my life, I can't remember the exact words, but the idea was, I hope that my life and the way I've lived has brought honor to you who really gave me that life. That's the people we are. That's who we are as a people. We're not Irishmen or French or that. We're not that. We're a people. And beyond that, we in this church are Christians. That calls us to a higher order, a higher calling. It is our responsibility to keep the memory alive of just exactly how much it cost God to give up his own son. Not in a great cause like, you know, World War I or two like that, but in the great cause of bringing redemption to a lost and dying world. In the book of Luke, Jesus is talking to his disciples at the Passover dinner. And he tells them, I think it's, I can't remember, 19th verse or something like that. In the 22nd chapter, he said, as he's breaking the bread, this is my body, which is given for you. A little differently than the way the Apostle Paul records it in the book of Corinthians. But the thought is the same. He says these words, do this in remembrance of me. When we take communion here in this church, when we receive the elements, because that's exactly what he was setting forth is the communion service. And in Corinthians, Paul accentuates that, and he emphasizes, we do this in remembrance of him. In fact, we do it in remembrance of him until he comes again. It's not an ending thing, it's a continuous thing. And so I think sometimes when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we sometimes don't appreciate it enough. I'm guilty. You know, I'm guilty of going through the form. That's the danger of memorials. That's the danger of the 12 stones. That's the danger of all the monuments. You walk past the statues, You walk past the memorials, you walk past the cemeteries, and you don't remember. And I think sometimes we need to stop and remember. Someone literally hung on a tree, literally shed his blood, literally was buried. He wasn't murdered, although I guess technically you could say he was. Really, he laid down his life. By the way, he had an army if he wanted it. But he laid down his life for your eternal salvation. So how do we make that connection then? Communion reminds us of the sacrifice. Paul says, my body which is broken for you. I think if Christians do nothing in their life, nothing of great significance to themselves, every time you take communion, I think there's a deeper spiritual thing happening than you realize. You may just be trying to find the smallest cracker because it's too hard to chew it up quick enough to drink that little cup thing. I think when you take communion with the right heart, with the desire to make the connection, not only with your salvation, I understand that part. I'm talking beyond that. Christians are the ones who really know the impact of communion. But when you really make the connection that this was done for me, not for people or humanity or the world, although that language is used, this was done for me. And I've heard songs and poems and all kinds of things that while he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And if it was just me on the planet, he would do the same thing. And I'm convinced he would. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about in the mass of humanity. Chad, Jesus looked down into your life and paid the price for your salvation. Same for you, same for you, Vera, same for me. It's not a general thing that he's done, although it is. It is a very deep and personal act that he performs. And when you observe the Lord's Supper and you remember him, we try to emphasize that when we have communion. I think it's deeper than we know. I think it goes to the very thing that God planted in our hearts. Somewhere we know there has to be something beyond this life. This can't be all there is, and it's not. How do I make connection with the eternal? By keeping alive the memory of the great sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us. That should be our motivating force. I go to the darkest of Africa to find Livingston, because Jesus Christ came to earth looking for me. I go down into Belize or Honduras or Mexico or on the Baja or Africa or Australia or New Zealand. And where else have we sent them? Where she might go to Vietnam, is that what you said? Or Indonesia? Israel. Oh, she went to Israel. Hello. How awesome. May go there, whatever work you do there. I think that should be done always in mind that I'm remembering what he did for me. And I'm going to close with this thought. That's the reason that the act of salvation is so significant. Jesus kind of put it this way, there's no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for a friend. In that statement, do you know what he did? He elevated us from peons to friends. Later, we're called brothers. Do you see how God elevates us I think it's in proportion to our recognition just how much it costs the Savior to purchase our salvation. We will never know, but we get a glimpse when we remember. When we remember. Don't let it become commonplace or routine. When it becomes that, it becomes a ritual. I'm not into ritual. I'm into experiencing God. And so if I consciously make an effort to remember Him, especially at communion time, I want to experience God then. And that's where I find my significance. I know I'm valuable to the kingdom of God. This is not an arrogant statement. I'm valuable because I know how God feels about me. I know what God did for me. I know how He redeemed me. I know how He sought me. I know how He found me. I know how He rescued me. I know how He delivered me. I must be worth something if a God would go to that much trouble to find me. The least I can do is remember the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and also fulfill my responsibility to others who have set the pace in the Christian work, and then as an American citizen, always remember those who've laid down their lives so you could be free, sleep in church if you want, kick back. Man, that pastor's good. He puts me to sleep. Oh, only about 5 minutes, and I'm into it, man. God's good, isn't He? And every once in a while, pastor will jump off the stage and scare everybody awake. Amen? I do think that these kind of days need to be good reminders to us. I think it's not only significant in our Christian walk, but I think it's significant in where we want to be in Christ. There's something about faith you need to understand that I think is linked to this whole thing that I think God has put inside us. And whether you're a Christian or not, I think you have it, because people that are not Christians demonstrate that same kind of drive to find significance and importance in their life. But I think there's something about faith you need to understand. Faith without, and the story of Joshua can tell you that, and crossing the river. Just to give you kind of a final insight to the idea of communion and all of that. I think if we really understand what all communion meant to God, that our observance of it would mean much more to us. But faith is involved there. Faith, that thing that you exercise to demonstrate to God that you trust Him and believe that He can do anything and that He's going to do that. But something about faith is that you need to know is important. Faith without works, meaningless. Meaningless. I may have faith to move mountains. I may have faith to raise the dead. It means nothing. I know without love, I know the connection, but faith must have obedience. They were told to cross the river. Now, this is the time when preachers are called to step up. They didn't cross the river by the army marching forth and the Ark of the Covenant, you know, all that kind of stuff. The priests had to go in. This, now, you don't realize this. At the time they did this, this river is raging. The banks are overflowing here. And the water did not recede. They got all the people behind them. The priests are stepping out. And I want to be the priest in the back. I don't want to be the priest up front. You know, you got the water just raging past you there. And the water didn't recede or stop until the priests put their feet in the water. Without obedience, without action, faith is nothing. It's just a belief. It accomplishes nothing for you or anyone else. It doesn't bring significance, doesn't bring power into your life. It does nothing. But faith with obedience, God impacts lives. He changes hearts. And one of the things I wanted you to realize, that when they stepped out by faith, that's where preachers get that term, not that they would do it, but the priest stepped out by faith, and the waters receded, and they all crossed over, and the Ark of the Covenant, all of that crossed over. And then I don't want to be one of the 12 either, because after the priest and everybody's all over, he sends them back into the river where the priests were standing and get rocks out of there. So God held the water a little bit longer. I still don't want to be that guy, because I'm not sure my faith is up to my stepping out there. But I want to remember somebody as I close. I've been closing, but I want to remember somebody when I close. One day when we first came to this church, we had been wrestling about what are we going to do. You know, we can't stay at the classitorium very long. They're going to get tired of us staying there. So we're going to have a home base. We're going to have a church. So we looked at every building in this town, and none of them fit our vision or any of that. And so we started meeting. What are we going to do? Well, then we better think about building. So, and by the way, when we were in that stage, nobody had faith. Nobody did. The first question that came out of people's mind was, where are we going to get the money? Famous last words and first words to the defeat of any vision. Where are we going to get the dough? So it got so bad, and everybody knows this story. I got sick of pizza from when it used to be Doc's there. But anyway, I ate so much of it that, anyway. But I want to remember somebody today. I want to bring to life a memory of mine that had great significance to me. And it meant a lot to me. And it actually has affected everybody that's here this morning. Everybody that's here. After one of our meetings, our mini Doc Pizza meetings, the pizza was good, but I just got, you know, I'm tired of these meetings. A man came to me and said, you know, Gary, I don't think we're going to do anything but eat pizza unless we put our feet in the water. So that gentleman took the money he had for picking fruit that year to pay his pickers and invested it in the land that set up the contract that bought the 4 acres that we're sitting on right here. Had that man not stepped up and said, we've got to put some works, we've got to put our feet in the water, we'd still be meeting at Doc's. Well, we'd be out in Granger now, because that's where Doc's is now. I want to remember that man. L.D. Boffman was a man that could see the future. It's not that the others couldn't, that they didn't want to. They wanted to, but they just couldn't grasp it. That God works miraculously to do His mighty will. And it's like men like L.D. and others that I could get on. I just remember that one experience. This was not done by L.D. alone. That's not what I'm saying. But I think in memory today of L.D., thank God he was willing to step in the water. And the waters parted. We built our first church. Then the next phase and the next phase. And L.D. was with us for most of that. But he was the man that taught people to believe God was in it. And the proof was, God did it. And a memorial in remembering L.D. and his, oh, he's a cantankerous now and then. You remember L.D. Well, now Gary. He'd try to rein me back a little bit. But when he spoke spiritual things, he could talk to you about apples or anything else, but when he spoke spiritual things, they had meaning. He didn't speak spiritual things just to be saying something spiritual. He said things and they had real meaning behind them. Now, Gary, I'm not sure, but no, L.D., I think you're right. Let's do it. And we did it. It's not how much you do. It's that you do. Remember, remember, remember. Let's stand, shall we? Some point this weekend, I know you will. Many of you will be going to gravesides, some here maybe in Zillin, some in Yakima and elsewhere. I know there's some that are buried in various cemeteries around. And I know you'll go there to plant flowers and to remember. And I think you need to. You must go and remember your loved ones. And as you sit around, I want you to think of all the things that made you laugh and giggle and enjoy that person. I want you to remember also our nation and their gentlemen tomorrow. But as you gather around family, I want you to recognize a couple things. Beyond yourself, the most important thing on earth is your family. They're here way too brief, way too short a time. But oh, does it do your heart good? Scott, I don't know. Maybe you might sit around and think about old Erpel taking you catfishing, giving you a cha, the plug, getting you all dizzy, whatever. I don't know what your memories are. You owe it to your family to honor them on this time set aside by our nation that has now become us remembering the greatness of all of our people. Not just our warriors, but all of our people. And we are great. We are exceptional. We are a good people. We need to remember that. We're that way because this land was built on the premise that God gives us our sacred rights. We need to honor that and remember that this weekend. So as you go and you plant your flowers, you remember your loved ones, just take a minute to enjoy your family. Will you do that? Because that's the next most important thing in your life, next to Jesus Christ, as your hero of the cross. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. You are our heavenly Father. And we are important to you. We just want to yield our hearts, Lord, for lack of better terms, and just melt into the arms of the Holy Spirit as He impresses us the importance of the memorials throughout biblical history that mean so much, especially the memorial that Jesus left us. And Father, we just love you. We're not good at all this, but we want to be the best kid you've got. We want to be the best people you've got. We want to do great things for you. And we want you just to know that. And we just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.